So our sermon this morning is going to come from our epistle reading found in the 11th chapter of St. Luke. I'll begin by saying this. If you've ever noticed reading the Gospels and reading the Scriptures, our blessed Lord always turns societal norms on their head, right? He turns everything upside down. He always does this. If you remember, he spoke to a woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. So he's walking through Samaria. He meets a Samaritan woman at a well, and the Jews and the Samaritans did not communicate. They didn't talk to each other. And it would be a very strange thing for a man alone to talk to a woman alone like that anyway, in that culture. And so he gets to the well, and he says, "Ma'am, will you draw me some water as you're drawing water for yourself? I'm thirsty." And she's like, "How can you speak to me?" You know, he just turns the whole thing up on his head. And the disciples are off in the distance. They're like, does he know she's a Samaritan? Does he know? What is he doing, right? Or in those days, whoever you ate with is who you identified yourself with. Like, so if you were to go into somebody's home and you were always trying to climb sort of that class, right? So you wanted to eat with people who are a little higher in status than you, and then you could get into their circles. And so if you were invited with somebody who is royalty or whatever to eat, that would be a really big thing, right? But you wouldn't see people of a high status eating with people of a low status. That just didn't happen. And yet, who did Jesus eat with? Sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes. And so all the people are like, "What are you doing? You're this great prophet. You're this great guy. You're doing all these amazing things. And you're eating with these people. You're identifying yourself with them." And the priests and stuff would come to Jesus and try and correct him and say, "What's wrong with you? Don't you understand how we do things?" Right? I remember the passage where he and John the Baptist both call the elite to repentance, the religious people. The priest is calling them to repentance. They're like, "What are you talking about? We're the priests. We're the religious people. We run the temple. You're calling us to repent?" There's another time where he's in the house teaching his disciples, and Mary and Martha are like serving them, and Mary sits down, and Martha's cooking and serving them and taking what would be a traditional role at the time. And Jesus said, "Hey, come and join us. I want to hear your opinion. I want to hear what you think about this stuff." And they're like, "What? You can't do that. We don't do that," right? Or the lepers who are cast out and everybody says, "You're done." Nobody will even go near them. But what does Jesus do? He hugs them. "Dude, who are you? Don't you understand? Don't you know how we do things? You're not allowed to do this." And if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you'll see in this passage a similar kind of thing happens. So I'll share the story with you and I'll show you how he just kind of turns everything upside down. And then we'll talk a little bit about what he was teaching us this morning. So in the story, Jesus just finished his teaching. And he's teaching about unclean spirits, and he gives this incredible sermon about how an unclean spirit, when it leaves a man, will go off to arid places and wait for the person to clean up their lives and get themselves together. And then finding no other person to enter into, they come back and they go, "Hey, look at the house is all clean." And they invite seven of their friends to come and party inside that person with them and destroy that person, right? So he's teaching this. And of course, if Christ is teaching in person, the power of it must be incredibly moving. Because there's a woman in the crowd, and she just raises her voice and begins to yell out. Now, you have to understand, in those days, a woman wouldn't speak publicly like that. Yell out in front of everybody like that. It took incredible courage, or it was like an ejaculatory prayer that just popped out of her because the moment was so incredibly powerful. But she does it. And you know what she says? She says, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nurse you." In other words, your family must be royalty. Your family must be overwhelmingly blessed, because they understood then if you were a blessed person, and obviously Christ was amazing, and they saw it in him power when he spoke to heal and to do all the things he did. And what she's saying is, your family, your mother, you're so amazing. Your family must be so blessed. Their status must be so high, and we can't even comprehend it. And how does Jesus respond to that? Now, the truth of the matter is that Mary is the highest of all created beings ever created in the history of mankind. And that Christ is God himself incarnate. So yeah, he's pretty high in the totem pole in terms of status. But he makes himself nothing. And he says to her these words. He says, "Rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and who obey it." What is he saying? She's saying, "Blessed are you and your family. You must be. You must have such status." And he says, "No. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." There was a time where Jesus was healing, and he was healing so many people that the whole town came out to his house. And they're bringing everybody who's sick in the whole town, and he's healing them, and people are floored at what's going on. And there's such a massive crowd. And so Mary and Jesus' family show up, and they're like, we need to get to Jesus. We need to talk to Jesus. But they couldn't get through the crowd. So they sent a message into the house to Christ, and it gets to him, and they're like, hey, Jesus, you know, while you're healing over there, your mom's outside. She wants to talk to you. She's wondering what's going on in here. There's a lot of people here. And what does Jesus say? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? All those who hear the word of God and obey. What is Christ saying? Christ is saying to us this morning that status and blessedness, and when we say blessedness, we mean to be set apart by God for a purpose, his purpose, to be blessed. It's so confused now. When we look in our culture, our secular culture, we look at actors and billionaires and we say, how blessed is that person with their family or their house, or they're able to go on vacation, so they'll be able to do these things. And these actors on TV are so glamorous, and how blessed is... No! No. Blessed are the people who are united to God, who are born as children of God through Jesus Christ by hearing the word of God and obeying the word of God. You know, it's this faith of ours isn't based on our family, right? Like, we're not, our standing isn't based on God because, you know, Ben's not based on God because his father's a priest. You know, you may have had missionaries for parents. That's not you, right? Now, you may be blessed from that, or in some cases cursed from that, but true blessedness comes not from the status of your family. You know, I used to hear in the old congregational church, my grandfather sat in that pew, and his grandfather's father, and my father, and now I'm sitting in this pew. This is our church, and this is, you know, and they would go to church like 3 times a year, but that was their church, and if there was a vote or something, they're going to show up and say, this has been my church forever, right? It's not just about sitting and bench warming, right? It's not based on our family or that kind of thing, or our location. It's based on, what does Christ say? Hearing the word of God and obeying the word of God. And it's not based on seclusion or isolation or individualism, right? We live in America, we're sort of egalitarians. It's like, this is my life. But this isn't how it works. Jesus said, I'll build my church. He didn't say, I'll build my individual. And the gates of hell will not prevail. He said, I'll build my church. And so this entire thing is born out in community with each other. This entire life of faith. And so what Jesus is saying this morning is that those who are blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. What does that mean? I mean, think about this morning. You're here. You are here. You got up. You could have stayed in bed. You could have done a lot of things today, but you're here. And right now, I'm reading the scriptures and you're hearing the word of God right now. And you are obeying because you're here, right? And you're saying the mass together with me. And we're offering it to God in communion with eternal life into heaven. It's about hearing and obeying. And there are in each of your lives and my life areas where we know we're hearing, but we're not obeying. We're not listening. We hear in our conscience. We hear God's word in us. We hear it in the sermons and stuff. But we're not willing to reform our lives. And what Christ is saying is, if you want to be truly blessed and find peace, happiness, comfort, and joy, then yield yourself to not only hearing, but obeying. And in obedience, we carry the cross with Christ because it is a burden. It's a burden to fight against, you know, our passions, the passions of the flesh. And so I'll say one more time as I conclude. While he was saying this woman in the crowd, she raised her voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So let us, good children of God, depart from this place to this mass. And not let the mass hit us now and not be a part of our life when we leave, but let us obey to the best of our abilities. And finally, let us remember that when we fail, which we will, and when we fall short, which we will, and when your priest falls short and lets you down, which he will, that we have the sacrament of confession, the restoration, and the grace and mercy of Almighty God to get back on that horse and to continue this ride with Christ by hearing and obeying in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. For truly God is one.